Thank you, Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark and Mark chapter 1. If you belong to Jesus, which I believe every one of us does belong to Jesus, those that are here and many that are online, right? If you belong to Jesus, then you're going to be unashamed of who he is, and you're going to be brave, you're going to be bold and courageous, willing to speak truth. And I speak about that all the time. Jesus spoke truth, and he was hated by some, he was rejected by others, and then he was loved by others, right? And the same is true for us, right? But we're going to speak truth no matter what. Carry, because we carry the truth. See, I speak truth because I carry the truth, which is Jesus. Amen. We carry the truth. The truth, the sword of the Spirit, the truth, the word of God. We carry Jesus, Spirit and truth. So we will speak what we carry. Amen. More and more and more. All right. So Mark 1, and let's look at verse 21. Let's start with 21. This is a passage of scripture, this portion here. This portion of scripture is when Jesus cast out an unclean spirit. But how many of you know that God wants to speak to you in many, many ways more than just casting out an unclean spirit? Yeah? So in verse 21, it says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue, and he taught. Jesus, the greatest teacher, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when I leave, I will leave the Holy Spirit, and he's the greatest teacher. He taught. He went into the synagogues, and he taught, and they were astonished. Look at verse 22. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not just the scribes, not just a regular ordinary teacher, not just a regular ordinary teacher that knows facts, but people were astonished at his teachings because they looked at him and they said, this teacher is different from the rest. He has an authority that's different from what we have seen. Who lives on the inside of us but Jesus Christ? The Spirit of the living God that lives on the inside of us. We are called to walk as he walks. We are not called to just memorize facts, truth, his word, where we're called to walk in releasing that truth in an authority that people realize, where could they have gotten this other than the Spirit of the living God? We have a lot of people that are very well-versed in scripture, but they are not well-versed in the Spirit. And we have a lot of people that can fool a lot of people that are looking for the external. They're looking for what man can bring. Are you looking for what the Spirit in that individual can bring? Will you be willing to be the one that will walk by the Spirit, giving the truth, knowing that it is the authority of Christ in you that makes the difference? It was the authority that Jesus carried that made the difference. He says, verse 22, and they were astonished at his teachings. They were astonished at his teachings, for he taught. What did he teach? The gospel. The gospel is the power of God. In Romans 1:16, you can write it down because we're not going to turn there right now, but in Romans 1:16, it says that the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is power. What I'm speaking to you right now is power. These words are powerful. They're filled with power. They are power. The words of Christ are power. Yes, they're powerful, but they're literally power. Just like God is love, the word is power. It's filled of power. Full. Are we following? It's not just powerful. We use that word all the time, kind of flippantly, kind of like we use love. Oh, I love that. I love ice cream. I love that. Right? We still use it so flippantly, right? So everyday-ish. You know, the word power, God's word is not just powerful. It is power. What needs to come out of our mouths, off of our lips, but the word of God, which is power. And when there's that word of power, you're walking in an authority that you were called to walk in, just like Jesus did. So the gospel is power, the power of God. So he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He taught them as one having authority. Have you been taught by Jesus? Have you been taught to have authority? Yes, right? And we know that Luke 10:19 tells us, right? I have given you what? Authority. His word says, I've given you authority. He says, all authority. He says, I've given you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And he says, nothing, say nothing with me. Nothing will by any means harm you or hurt you. Authority. When you speak truth, you will speak it with an authority, knowing that it is power. Father, right now I decree a shift in any person wherever there is doubt. Oh, that's you. That's not me. I rebuke that thought right now, and I cancel that thought wherever it may be coming from. It is not just me. It's not me at all. It's the Spirit of God. So therefore, it's not just me, and it's void of you. It's us. Because it's the Spirit of God in us. Are you following? It's the Spirit of God in you, His Spirit, that wants to speak through you His Word. When His Spirit speaks through you His Word, that Word is being spoken in authority. In other words, when you speak, it's like you're teaching. And when you teach, you're going to teach with authority. Let every ear be attentive to what I'm speaking tonight. When you speak, you're teaching. Let there be a shift in your way of understanding and in your mode of operation. When you speak, you're called to teach. You say, I'm not a teacher. There you go again. Disqualifying what God has qualified. There you go again. Canceling and belittling what Christ said you are to walk in. If the teacher, the greatest teacher, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, lives on the inside of you, and if he's the one that fills your mouth when you open it and says, I will speak through you, you just trust me, when you open your mouth, I will fill it, then who's teaching through you? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go and I will leave you the Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher, the comforter, the one that will teach you and lead you in all ways, teach you all things. If the teacher, the one who teaches you all things, lives on the inside of you, and we are called to be like Christ, we're called to be like Jesus, we're called to reveal the fruit of the Spirit and all the fruits of the Spirit, then when you open your mouth, let there be a shift in your thinking that when you open your mouth, you're teaching, and you're teaching with authority and not just as the scribes. I'm going to reread this now because this isn't just for Jesus. It's for us. I want to reread this in verse 21. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let the confidence of God rise up on the inside of you, and let the confidence of our Lord increase on the inside of you. We live in a world where godly Christians that are worth their salt need to stand up and recognize, I have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. I cannot fail. That when I speak and I'm dependent upon the Holy Spirit, when I speak dependent on the Holy Spirit, He will fill me. And the words that come out of my mouth are going to be the words that are literally coming forth from heaven as I stay connected. Amen. And those words are going to be words that are going to astonish people, not so they can be astonished by me, but they can be astonished by whom I carry. And those words that people are astonished by carry authority, which means they have the supernatural power of God to change circumstances. Even in the hardest of hearts, you will be called by God to go forth and make the change happen. Are we following? Yeah. Do we need this? Yeah. 100% we need this. The church needs this. The world, forget about it. Of course they need this. But the church needs this. Godly Christians to rise up and stand firm, knowing that they're called to teach. When I speak, I teach. When you speak, you teach. I want you to say it over yourself. Over yourself. When I speak, I teach. I teach with authority.
Praise the Lord. Because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. And I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to the team.
Because I carry the Spirit of God. Now we'll continue going on in this story. It says, verse 23, now there was a man in the synagogues with an unclean spirit. Just means he had a demon in him. Doesn't matter what the demon was. It's an unclean spirit. It just means he had a demon. Plenty of times you'll be with someone, you'll see that demon manifest. You walk in a room and somebody has a demon, and that demon starts to manifest. You know why? Because that demon sees God in you, sees the Spirit of truth in you, sees the Spirit of Christ in you, sees the light of Christ in you. And how do they manifest? Do they always growl? No, sometimes they just speak English. Oh, but you can tell why. Oh, spirit about them. It is not the Spirit of God. It's full of hatred. It's full of judgment. It's full of just everything that is evil. Everything that could be jealousy, strife, and division, and contention. It's an unclean spirit. Oh, I thought an unclean spirit was just a sexual spirit. Well, you were wrong. It's just a demon. Why do we have to put all these rankings? People, we fall for the devil's bait. People fall for the devil's bait. That's Satan's trick, to try to make you think he's all that. Oh, he's so powerful. He's all this. He's got all these different. Hey, I'm not saying there's no rankings of demons. There's powers, principalities. We know that. Where it's clear. When you encounter someone that has a spirit, an unclean spirit, a demon, does it really matter what level of demonic power is operating in them? When you have the highest authority in you, does it really matter? Oh, it's an unclean spirit, or is it a sexual spirit? Is it a demon, or what kind of, who cares? It's not of God. Get rid of it. If they're manifesting, they're manifesting because they see Christ in you. You're going to teach with what kind of authority? All authority that Christ has given you. He's given you all authority, not just a little bit of authority. All authority in the life of a believer. When we have our minds focused on, yeah, but what kind of a demon do they, am I ready for that? You've already lost the battle. Well, am I ready? I don't know if my confidence is where hers is. I don't know if my authority is where. Well, then you don't understand Christ in you, because you've just disqualified. You've just lessened the power of God to work in your life. I rebuke that spirit. You need to rebuke that spirit. If that's what's going on between your ears, you need to rebuke that spirit and say, not today, Satan. And never again. Because we're not weak if Christ is in us. We're strong. He's empowered us. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Ephesians tells us this, doesn't it? We're strong in the Lord. And I decree the strength of God to empower you, to embolden you, to cause you to walk as Holy Ghost, fiery servants of the Lord that know their identity in Christ and will not back down. That's who you are. So there was an unclean spirit. It's a man. Where was this man? In the synagogue. So he's in the church. He's in the church. I didn't know demons can go to church. Oh, you're probably sitting next to one. Stop looking around. Yeah. Why do they come to church? Because they try to mess up. They try. That's the key word. They try to disrupt what the Lord is doing. Try to disrupt his service. Happens all the time. But we know how to deal with it, don't we? We know how to deal with it. There are times that you guys leave. I have to pray for all of you. Because there are times that you all leave and I can sense those demonic spirits. They're just trying to plague you and cause you to doubt and cause you to feel bad and cause you to think, oh, I just feel terrible. I feel bad. I feel whatever, headache, this, that, and the other. There are times that you guys leave and I have to pray because I can see that what was waiting right outside that door to plague you and to slime you was right there and the attacks were happening left and right. Why do I have to pray? Because you're not doing it. Sometimes you're just not doing it. You know why? Because you buy into the lie. Man, I should have just not gone tonight. You just bought into the lie. You didn't realize you were just attacked at the door. Instead of realizing the house of God is where I'm going to be planted. And if I walk out feeling somewhat different, I'm going to tell that demon, get off me, devil, because you're not going to stop me from going to the house of God. It's a tactic. I'll still pray for you. I'll still pray for you, but I do. I pray. I'm like, Lord, show him. Show him the truth. Because it's a warfare. It's a battle. It's a strategy of the devil. We would be wise to understand how this works, how he works. Okay, back on target, back on track. But that was a freebie. That's, you know, how the Holy Spirit just interjects things, and I let him because why? He's in charge, not me. So, and he cried out, what? The spirit. Yeah, the spirit. Cried out, and the spirit, this unclean spirit, knew Jesus, knew the power of God. That unclean spirit knows you, knows the spirit of God in you. That unclean spirit said, let us alone. What have we to do with you? Don't you love that old English language? What have we to do with you? What do you want us? What do you want from us, basically? Okay, let's just put it in our own terms. What do you want from us? What have we to do with you? What do you want from us? Because that spirit knew, that unclean spirit knew, Jesus is in the house. The Holy Spirit is in the house. That unclean spirit, those demons know, you're in the house. The Spirit of God in you is in the house. And how do they question you? By saying what they said to Jesus, what do you want from us? He says, leave us, let us alone, leave us alone. Jesus didn't say anything to them. He said absolutely nothing at this point. He didn't say anything. He didn't even address them. He didn't even call them out. We call out demons as the Holy Spirit tells us to call them out. Sometimes I'll see demons. I'm like, Lord's like, just don't say anything yet. Just don't say. Well, here, Jesus saw that demon. Trust me, he saw the demon. He didn't say a thing to him. Nothing. That thing spoke first. Call it a thing. Call it an it. It spoke first. Leave us alone. You don't always have to be the first one calling out that demon. Just stand there. Let the light of Christ shine through you. That's authority. Without a word, I'm not saying you never have to say something, but there are plenty times you do not have to talk. There are plenty times where you do not have to open your mouth. You need to stand in your position. And just standing in your position of authority of Christ in you, that devil knows exactly what you're saying without saying anything. Are you following? There's a position of authority. Jesus was standing, said not a word to this demon, but that demon was already speaking. What do you want from us? Well, who asked you a question? I didn't ask you anything. He says, leave us alone. What? First he says, well, leave us alone. Then he says, what do you have? What have we to do with you? Jesus of Nazareth. No questions there. No questions there. I know who you are. You're a daughter of the Most High God. I know who you are. You're a son of the Most High God. I know who you are. You're a carrier of his spirit. I know who you are. Good. You should. You should. I'm happy to hear it. Don't back down. Then the demon reveals his own insecurities. Did you come to destroy us? Yes. But, you know, he says, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One. You already said that. You already said Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. He goes even deeper, describing the demons know who Christ in you is. You've got church people that can't recognize the Spirit of God in you, but the demons know who Christ is in you. You've got church people that they don't understand the move of the Spirit of God in you and think you are the weird one. You are the one that's not stable. You are the one that doesn't walk in the Word. You're kind of one of the flaky ones, you know, the feely ones. But instead, they don't see Christ in you, but the demons do. Tell me what's wrong with this picture. Tell me what's wrong with this picture. You got some people that can't walk in the Spirit, don't understand a thing about walking in the Spirit, thinking there's something wrong with you. Oh, yeah, they're kind of like, you know. And they make these judgments. Don't let that get on you. You're filled with the Spirit of God, and you carry His Word. You're armed with strength. You're armed. He's empowered you. And you know the Word of God. But you also know how to walk in the Spirit. You also know how to be identified in the spirit realm so that Christ in you gets all the glory. Right? We're all following, correct? This story is not so much about the unclean spirit, because Jesus just said a simple command, be quiet and come out of him. Be quiet and come out of him. There's so much to be gleaned from this story. So much more than, oh, I was supposed to say be quiet and come out of him. If that's what you're supposed to say, if that's what Jesus says to say at that moment, there's no magical word. It's being led by the Spirit. It's hearing him and following after him, right? There's so much more to be learned in this passage of Scripture other than be quiet and come out of him. It's understanding spiritually our position in Christ is far, far greater. And understanding that some of that rejection that you were feeling and you internalized and thought that you were the problem was actually the demon in them causing you to doubt Christ in you. Not any longer. The demons in them, whomever, the spirit of the enemy that was manipulating certain individuals against you, and then you thought it was your fault, your problem. You bought into it. Some of you bought into it. No, it's actually those demon spirits that were lying to you. Instead, you remember Christ in me, the hope of glory. There is no limits, none. Amen. He didn't place any limits on us. He says, keep coming forward, come up higher. So Jesus rebuked him. We're at verse 25. He says, Jesus rebuked him. And he said, be quiet and come out of him. It's simple. Be quiet and come out of him. It's understanding who you are in Christ. You could have said something different. You will say what the Holy Spirit tells you to say. And you will sometimes not say a word, like I said, and you'll just stand there. And the authority of God in you will drive away those demons without a word. Without a word. So in this case, he said, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. This was an individual that was plagued by an unclean spirit. There are many individuals that are plagued by unclean spirits, demonic spirits, trapped within themselves because of what they've given themselves over to. And some of them you would never guess. You would never know because they sit in high positions. Some of them wear suits. Some of them, you would just never know. They dress themselves up. Don't be intimidated. Don't be fooled. If they don't carry the Spirit of God, then you need to know that you are there to walk in that authority, to teach, to open your mouth, to teach. What does that mean? Speak truth. When you speak truth, you're teaching. What is truth? God's word is truth. You speak God's word, which is truth. You're teaching, and not teaching from just like your head, your head knowledge. You're going to teach with authority, which is the power of God, because you're zeroing in on what needs to be said. And let me tell you, will you talk about making somebody uncomfortable? It's not that that was your goal. It's just you know how to stay in the spirit. That makes people that have demons uncomfortable, because it's the demons in them that are uncomfortable. Now, if they don't have demons, they're filled with the Spirit of God, and they're good. They're not uncomfortable. They're like, oh, just, I want to hear, I want to receive. That's what I see with all of you. Your spirits are like open. You're like, yes, I want to receive, because there's no demonic activity that's trying to keep you from receiving what is being spoken. So instead, you're opened. Your spirit man is open. I want to understand. I'm trying to understand more. I want to receive. Teach me, Lord, what she's saying. Do you see the difference? Do we see the difference or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure, because I'll stay there. We'll figure out another way of saying this. But okay, we get it. We get it. Verse 27. So verse 26, he was convulsed. He cried out, loud voice came out. Then verse 27, they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? This new doctrine. What is this, a new doctrine? No, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. People go, oh, you know, this is what God's doing now. No, there's nothing new under the sun. Go read your book. Go read in Ecclesiastes. There's absolutely nothing new under the sun. So they were all amazed, and so they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout the region of Galilee. Immediately. You know, the Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Right? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. As you think in your heart, so you are. You know, your heart and your mind, it's interesting, because your heart and your mind, you know, we have a mind, and we have a heart that's pumping. But it was spiritually, when we talk about our heart, when we talk about our mind, it's like your spirit. And it's one and the same. So we're not talking about your actual mind, your brain. We should call that your brain. And then your heart that's pumping blood and pumping, keeping you alive. But when I'm talking about your heart, your mind, I'm talking about your spirit man. So your heart and your mind, they kind of, it's like one and the same. If I say, as a man thinks in his heart, it's your spirit that is receiving the truth. It's your heart. It's your spirit man that's thinking. It's the heart of who you are, which is spiritual. Are we following? We have to understand that thoughts, when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, that our thoughts are his thoughts, because we've trained ourselves. Now, if you haven't trained yourself, that's a different story. But we need to train ourselves to think his thoughts. Our thoughts are his thoughts, right? Our thoughts, our minds. Our heart, what we feel, is going to come forth out of our mind, our thoughts, right? Who we are in our spirit. So as a man thinks in his where? In his heart. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Who are you? You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, because you think the word of Christ. You think the heart of God. You know the word of God, and you meditate on that word day and night. You meditate on that word so that what you think is what he thinks. What you feel is what he feels. And when it's not like that, you make sure that you align yourself with the truth, because when you speak, it has to be the words of authority, words of Christ coming out of you and not your own, because there's no weight, there's no power, there's no authority in ourselves, in our words. It's all Christ's words in us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let's jump over to Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 10. So it tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, if we just meditated on that verse right there and we just did that one verse, we would be good. We'd be really well off. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your gifting. If you're strong in your gifting and you find yourself confident or strong in your gifting, that's a dangerous way to walk. Very dangerous. You'll start to flow in the soul in a soulish level very quickly. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You get an A. No, you get an A plus. She's all finishing my sentences here. Okay, so be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, of his strength, of the strength of God. That word might is like dunamis power. That word might is power for miracles. You're going to be strong in the miraculous provision that Christ has already given you. But until you let your mindset be that of Christ's and not of yourselves, you walk defeated and not knowing the power that is present for you to walk in. But we need to walk in the power of God's might, his strength in us. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might is how we are going to walk day by day and moment by moment. Amen? And when we do that, we see God's miraculous provision come to pass. It says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, even just this week, so much has happened this week. And I know most of you guys are aware of just the horrible, horrible crime, right? That was just witnessed. And for some, if you watched the video, it's just like that. It just plays over and over in your mind. And it's horrific, right? Just horrific. And then the division and the strife of just what people are, the horrible, senseless things that are being spoken. And you know, and I've talked, if you watch my lives, you'll know because I've spoken on it. And of course, Thursday, I spoke on it as well. So I'm not going to get deep into it. But I do want you to say, you know, this kind of thing, this is, first of all, not the first time something like this has taken place. And it's not going to be the last time. And so don't let any of this shake you because you are unshakable. And in Psalm 16, it says that we will not be shaken. And for some people, you know, a fear entered in. The minute that I saw what took place, the Holy Spirit told me immediately, he said, I want you to pray against the spirit of fear because some people they were treading along just fine. They were growing. They were getting confident. And then this happened. It was like a spirit of fear, just like a dagger to the heart. I'm not saying everybody. But I know because the Lord told me that for some people, it was like a spirit of fear. What do you mean a spirit of fear? They were like, oh, boy, I better not be that crazy. Like, I don't want to be that radical. Like, I don't want that to be me, right? And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, when we said yes to Jesus, we said yes. We didn't say yes, but. We said yes. Not yes, but. So in other words, we're committed 100%. We're in. We're not 1 foot in, 1 foot out. We live in a culture where you know, Christianity needs to be, you know, health and wealth and wellness and prosperity and everything. And that's not Christianity, by the way. God does bless us and he does prosper us and he gives us so many good things. But the bottom line is, will you live your life for one, for him? He is the one. Will you live your life for him, for that one, for him, his purposes, right? And then regardless of what takes place, you're sold out. If your life is required, then your life is given and you're fully 100% in. Oh, that's the gospel that needs to be preached because that's the true gospel. Christianity is, I say yes no matter what. I still say yes no matter what. If it costs me everything, I still say yes no matter what. That's the truth. That's what Jesus did. And he's our perfect example. But the Lord said the minute that took place, this is the spirit of fear. There's a spirit of fear, and it attacked certain people, and it caused them to be a little timid, you know, back up a little bit. Well, don't be so, like, you know, be careful. Be careful. Just be careful. Well, come on, really? Because, first of all, if the Lord lives on the inside of you, and if he is the leader, he is the one that leads you, he guides you in all truth, right? And if you truly trust him fully, like you say you do, is he ever going to lead you in a wrong path, or is he going to lead you in paths of righteousness? He's going to lead you in paths of righteousness, right? You say, yeah, but what about how happened to Charlie? He went right to his grave. Well, his assignment was over. His assignment was completed. It doesn't have to make sense to us. It doesn't have to make sense. There are many, many people that have been, they're martyrs. Yeah, unseen and unspoken of. There's people that, you know, some here, some in other countries, unspoken of. But all the glory that they got to see because they lived their life to the fullness and they did not back up or back down. We believe in the blessing that God wants to give long life, but what's long? We believe, I believe that. I always say I'm going to live to 100, so I'm going to be around for a long time in Jesus' name, and I have faith for it. And I already planned my 100th birthday party. My kids know it. They know the exact kind of cake that I want to have. They all want to have those, you know, little sparkler things, and like they know it. I haven't planned my dress yet, though. I was thinking about that the other day. I need to have something, but I don't want to get it now. I need to wait. I literally was thinking of this. This is not the first time this came through my mind. I was like, I'm going to not get the dress now because probably should get it closer to maybe 90, 99, maybe 98. Because I don't know what I'm going to fit into back then in that time. All right, too much information. But it's true. I literally had this thought. Because I'm going to, in Jesus' name, I'm believing I'm going to live to 100. I'm going to be here for a while. And I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to wear on that day, but not until a year or two before. Where was I going with this? Lord, help me. Oh, yes, that's right. I believe in long life. I believe that it's a blessing of God. Woo! Wheel her back in. I believe in long life. I believe that God's one of the blessing, right? But what is long? Like, we have our ideas of what long should be, right? And I believe God honors our faith, right? But there are times that long is long, but it wasn't long like we thought long was. And I believe that's the case for Charlie and others. We get to say, Lord, we trust you. We still have faith. You have faith for what God has spoken to you to have. You have faith, but we trust you. Long is what you've called it to be. But I know that every day that you have given me that's written in that Lamb's Book of Life, not one will be cut short. And I know that those days are numbered. They're already written. Not one will be cut short. His days were not cut short, as the enemy would want some to think. So don't allow a spirit of fear to get into you, because not one of those days that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cut short. Are we all following? There is no room for fear. Perfect love casts out fear. But we're going to live sold out, which means on fire and unashamed of the gospel, and also not afraid that if our lives were required, then our lives would be given. I've said that over and over and over. My life will be given unto Jesus no matter how much, no matter what I need to go through. I belong to him. And so, Lord, whatever you need to do, I am yours. Whatever you need to do, whatever needs to take place, I am yours. Committed fully, radically. And that's how we need to live. It's important, because if we don't live like that, then we have a crippled church. We have a handicapped church. We have a church where people are filled with demons and no one's saying, come out. We have a church where, and they don't understand their authority, so they don't even give them the look. Remember I taught you all ladies about the look in our women's class? Not going into that right now. But I have taught you about the look. But all that is to say is that it's because the kingdom of God lives on the inside of us. The kingdom of God lives on the inside of us, right? Amen? The kingdom of God, which is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy, and it's found in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom? Yeah, the whole kingdom. The whole kingdom. The whole kingdom lives on the inside of us. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So we have righteousness, yes. Because we are righteous according to Christ and what he's done for us. It's his righteousness that he's imputed to us. Peace? Yes, he's the Prince of Peace. Of course we have peace of God. Joy? Yes. In his presence is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. So whenever you're walking in fear, doubt, or shame, or anything else, then you need to realize, wait a minute, the kingdom of God is not fear, doubt, and shame, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So you cast out the one so you can walk in the other. Back to Ephesians. Did you know that a study of Ephesians could have included even half of that? All right, so it says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles, the trickery, the schemes of the devil. You put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil. You will be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, you're going to put on the whole armor of God. And you're going to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the trickery, the arrows that are sent your way. And then he goes on, verse 12. We do not wrestle against. And this is so important, church. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against people. When you have someone you need to address, you're not wrestling against people. You're coming against powers and principalities. This is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. It says, but instead of flesh and blood, instead of against people, it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why you got to put on the full armor of God. That's why you put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. There are days that are evil. And you may be able to withstand in that day, in the days of evil. Having done all to stand, then you stand. And it goes on, then it talks about all the different pieces of armor, right? But so that you will be able to stand. Do you see how we are already fully equipped by the Spirit of the living God to walk as one that understands, I carry the kingdom of God on the inside of me. When I speak with authority. When I speak, I teach. And when I teach, I'm speaking and teaching with authority. And so are you. We're all called to do this. Has nothing to do with what is your gift, a gift of teaching. Isn't one of the fivefold ministries the gift of teaching? Yes, of course it is. But is the teacher living on the inside of you? The greatest teacher, the Holy Spirit living on the inside. So are you supposed to walk with an understanding that you are called to change the circumstance? You're called to change situations. You're called to change, to be the change. And when you're called to be the change, which is why we went to Ephesians, you're going to come up against opposition. And because you're going to come up against opposition, you need to be armed and ready and reminded that it is a spiritual battle. Don't go into a spiritual battle in the flesh thinking you're going to do this because you're so equipped because you just got out of a meeting, you're pumped up. You got to remember that it is a spiritual battle, and you don't walk in the flesh and you don't do battle in the flesh. You battle in the spirit and you bind up powers and principalities, and your work is done before you get there. Your work needs to be done before you get there. Before you get where? Before you go and you confront that which needs to be confronted. It has to have already happened in your prayer closet. Has to have already happened in your car, which happened to be your prayer closet for that day. It happened to be wherever it was. But before you get there, you have to have already done the work. So when you get there, you go, wow, and they were like this muted, you know, they were just like this puppy. Of course they were. You know, at first when you start doing this and you're like, wow, they were like so muted. Never have I seen that person like that. They're usually just like so, you know. And you're shocked at first. You're surprised until you start to learn. You go, that's the power of authority, and that's how the Spirit of God works. And as you start to see, he will mute mouths that need to be muted. He will literally put a harness in the spirit realm. Oh, I hope some of you are hearing what I'm saying, because I'm trying to help somebody tonight. He will literally put a spiritual harness where it needs to be, so that what needs to truly be, which is the Spirit of God moving freely, will come about and take place. And all the demonic powers and principalities that were trying to gang up on you, and they were trying to come into agreement and ungodly agreements and try to bombard you because you said, oh, no, you don't, devil. I take authority and bind that thing in Jesus' name. And you said it with the godly confidence, with that godly assurance, everything shifted, everything changed before you even got there. Amen? Yeah. It's important, church. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. The Bible tells us that we're going to wage war, but we're going to wage war according to the Spirit of God and not the flesh, right? Because you see, there's a lot of people that try to wage war in the flesh. All that happens is they get beat up. All that happens is they get beat up. And they just run out of that place feeling beaten up. Well, we don't go in the flesh, we go in the Spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, meaning that we have a body, not you walk in the spirit of the flesh. Just means you walk, you have a body. That's all that means. It means you're here on earth, you have a body. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to that flesh. We don't let your flesh dictate how you're going to respond. We don't let your emotions dictate how you're going to battle. That's walking by the flesh. So, though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Every thought into captivity. Every thought is a lot of thoughts. If we were to just meditate on that right there, we'd have our work cut out between now and when Jesus returns. Right? Every thought. But it's what we're called to do. We are called by the Lord. We're instructed by the Lord. We're commanded by the Lord to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because if you don't, you're waging war by the flesh. It's when you get beat up. It's when you get destroyed and you go, but I did take authority. What happened? Why was I so attacked and all this and the casualties of war came about? Well, maybe you were walking in the flesh and you didn't know. You didn't understand yet. There's things to learn, lots of them. I've been teaching on authority for quite some time, years now, years. A lot of you have been with me for years and you understand fully. Some of you are newer. But this whole topic about the authority of Christ and warfare and spiritual battles and being victorious, there's a lot of layers to it. A lot of layers. But you got to start somewhere. And we keep growing from wherever we are at today. And you'll keep on adding to your learning so that you become truly strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's something we become. Like positionally, we have it. But we have to still learn how to walk in it. So that's what I mean about it's something we become. We walk into the understanding, the revelation of it. Because positionally, spiritually, we have it already. We are called strong in the Lord. We are called strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But that in the Lord is the key. That in the Lord is the key. That part of the phrase of the scripture, in the Lord, that's the key. Right? I know I'm helping somebody tonight. I know I'm helping you guys tonight. Thank you, Jesus. It's important that we get it. Okay, casting down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And then it says being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. How do you punish disobedience? By your obedience. You don't let the flesh have its way. You punish the disobedience by being obedient. We don't let the flesh have its way. We don't let our own desires, our own thoughts have their way. We live obediently, and by doing so, disobedience is punished. That means there's a lot of work for us to do. And it has nothing to do with demons. I mean, there's some because they're instigate. But the work, a lot of that work is internal. It's in us. Right? Why is this important? Well, it's so important because it's going to determine the kind of a Christian that you're going to be. It's going to determine how strong you are going to walk in Christ. It's going to determine if you're going to be, you know, part of the everyday church or part of the holy church, set apart Christian that is really truly called and walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Because we have a lot that just want to walk in an everyday kind of casual, like, I just want to pick and choose type of Christianity. I don't want to be that radical, and I don't want to be weird looking. You know, I just want to pick and choose kind of Christianity. And that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. Jesus is looking for a sold-out bride, one that is preparing herself, readying herself for His return, because He is returning. Jesus is returning, and He's looking for a holy, pure church, a holy, pure bride that is preparing herself. When I say her, just like when we say man, we're talking about mankind, we're talking about men and women. What happened this past week, as horrific as it was, and our hearts go obviously go out to the family. You know, can we just see this as, can we see this as, wow, the Spirit of God wants to raise up strong believers that don't cower at the first sign of a catastrophe. They don't cave. They're not questioning God. They're not trying to find the fault. They're not trying to point fingers and start to say senseless, heartless, insensitive things, and realize we are the militant church, and in an army, sometimes people die. And I'm not saying that to be heartless myself. I'm saying this to help us understand we're in a battle. And in battles, people die. But though we die, we don't die, we live. Because no one can take your life. God's already given you a new life. You're born anew. We're born anew of the Spirit of God. And we actually don't die. Our bodies will go to the grave, but our spirit man will not die. Let's get the right perspective of who we are as a Christian and realize the devil can't take your life unless you're walking in sin. If you're walking in sin, he can. If you're walking in sin, the devil can take your life. But if you're not walking in sin, a habitual sin, not saying, oh, wow, you had a wrong thought. You did one thing that was wrong, but then you were like repented for like, you know, day after day after day. I'm talking about habitual sin. People that walk in habitual sin and want to minimize it need to be worried. Yeah, you better be worried if that's you, because that's not okay. The devil can't take the life of someone that is walking in habitual righteousness, but they have set themselves apart to walk in purity. Because even if you were to die, you will still live. And you will live forever in eternity with Christ. And his blood that was shed on our behalf to remove the sins of all mankind, for those that would receive that gift, is still powerful and alive and active today, just as it was 2,000 years ago, and will continue to be all into until he comes again and takes us to be with him. So as he strengthened you, as he shown you, listen, the focus should not be on the fact that one individual died. His flesh died. He's not dead. The focus should not be on the temporal. The focus should be we're in a battle where we are the army of God, and we're going to continue to fight, and we're going to continue to rejoice, and we're going to continue to grow in strength. We're going to continue to pray, because why? There are people that are hurting, and rightly so. But God always turns everything around for good, his good, his glory. He says, I'll work all things together for good. Then he goes on to say, for those who love me who are called. Well, we love him. We're called. Every single one of you in here, those that are watching online, called. If you know Jesus, you walk with him, he's your Savior, you've given your life to him, you're called. You're chosen. He will work all of those things that are difficult. He'll work them for good if you let him. That's what his word says. And his word will never return unto his void. I know, I feel like I've gone a little bit long tonight, and I'm wrapping it up, but you know, I just really wanted to make this point that, you know, don't be shaken by what took place this past week. Are you somewhat, you know, maybe sad for the family? Yeah, that's really a hard one. Hard one for those that are very close, are close to that individual. But we have to trust God, who is good, will also work this out for his good and for his glory. Just like other things that take place in our lives, he will work those things together for good. Our confidence needs to be in God's ability to turn things around and make them right instead of any pain or suffering that you may have to go through in the process. People are so afraid of pain and suffering, but pain and suffering is what makes you who you are. Well, as long as you allow that pain and suffering to draw you to Jesus, of course. Because if you're just pain and suffering and you're just going to self-help and you're just trying to figure out yourself and you're just doing the same old thing, you're not turning to Christ, that's not going to be very helpful. Be in the same boat. But when you let the pain and suffering lead you to Christ and you really seek his will, you will be transformed. So the life of a Christian is not, power and finances and blessing. There's all that. There's a place for that. We believe for it. We believe in it. God is good. But truly, when you just pull back all the layers, when you get down to who are you as a Christian, what is it? What does it mean to be a Christian? How do you follow Christ? It really means your life should be a laid down life. It just really means that it's not about you. It's not about your comfort. It's not about achieving things or receiving things. It's about living your life surrendered to one man, the man Christ Jesus. It's about laying down your life, because he laid his down, but laying down your life and living for him and asking him to show you how to live fully surrendered to him day by day and moment by moment. A true Christian understands true surrender and the simplicity of obedience in Christ. There's a simplicity in it. The only time it gets complicated is when your expectations are outside of the will of God. When your expectations are in the will of God, the expectation is, Lord, first do unto me whatever is necessary. Remove, cut, prune, whatever is necessary. And then from that position, I know I will walk so closely to you that if I stop feeling the breath of God, I know I've stepped outside of the boundaries of what he's, and I'll get right back to that place where I can feel the breath of God. I'm going to walk in that, in sync. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for what you just delivered. I thank you, Father, that we are so strong in you, and because we get to rely upon you, we get to lean upon you, we get to depend upon you, we get to live our lives for an audience of one, but for the approval of one, because we know you already do. You've already approved. We're already accepted in the beloved. So we live our lives trusting you. That if we stay in that place of complete commitment to you, that we know whatever comes our way, we know we have the strength to walk through it, to be victorious through it, and to give you praise through it all. We will not be shaken. Instead, we become more empowered. We become stronger. We become more bold. Righteous are as bold as a lion. We become just empowered by you more and more and more. So Lord, teach us that when we open our mouths, we are teaching. We're teaching with an authority that causes people to gain attention to you, not us. We would direct them to you. When we open our mouths and we speak, we're teaching with authority, and demons, they see it and are afraid, exposed. That's what we're called to do. So I thank you, Father. There was an upgrade tonight. There was an increase from the very beginning when we started worship, and we started early tonight, because the Spirit of God was upon us and just moving already. And all throughout the ministry time, with the words that were spoken and prophetically spoken, many received into the teaching, Lord God, and even now in our closing prayer, you have done a beautiful thing, Spirit of the living God. We are changed, forever changed. We cannot be in a setting like this and not be changed, but we give you all glory and all honor, for you deserve all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.